when we read the part about the encounter of the two angels in the city of Sodom, did it strike you how that two young men, as they appeared, the two angels, should attract all the men out of the city? Read that passage very carefully. It's amazing. They came from far and near and said, now is the opportunity for, do you know what the two words should fit in at this place? You know what they were trying to do? Gang rape. All the men had come to attack and molest these two young men. And amazingly, Lot should offer his daughters to them, an equally bad solution to an evil situation. Take my daughters, he says. Amazing. And then when the angel says, you got any more in your family that we have come to save? Does it not strike you how gracious and merciful God was? For this is the eve of the greatest calamity, almost like the atom bomb on Hiroshima. One drop ashes. This was exactly what happened the very next morning. And this is the eve of the first drop of the wonderful bomb that God dropped on the cities in the plain. Not just Sodom, Gomorrah, and other cities in the plain were all wiped out, covered in ashes. And what did the sons-in-law say? In today's terms, they said to the angels and to the father-in-law, you're not joking, huh? The city is going to be destroyed tomorrow. Business as usual. That is the reason why I have changed the topic for today, to deal with something that is as serious, more serious, 1,000, 1,000,000 times more serious than Sodom. Because now the problem concerns the whole world. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus one day, Lord, you say you're coming back. Please give us some idea that we may know that you are coming back soon. What did Jesus say to them? Please turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, so that we may read from God's word itself. Jesus answered to a very pertinent and timely and relevant question. Surely many of us have been asking, Lord, when are you coming? We like to be more prepared. And I tell you, look now. The gospel according to St. Luke, verses 28, 29, and 30. Listen. Luke 17, 28 says, Jesus says to us, to you, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot that we have just read. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, and they enjoyed life. And those men who surrounded the house thought they were going to have a night of fun. Then what happened? Verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, there came God's judgment. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You think this is a fairy tale? Please come next trip and go to the Dead Sea. These things happen on the banks of the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, probably from that day, sank down thousands of feet below sea level. The lowest point on planet Earth is the Dead Sea. Do you know that? And archaeologists, those who were interested in all things, they dug the shores of the Dead Sea and uncovered 6 houses that puts the modern ones in the shade, much more sophisticated and intricate, amazing sex houses buried in there. So here is the last night before God's judgment came down. Now, do you believe God will judge? The final judgment on earth is going to be similar. God is going to rain fire and brimstone. But men will not believe. You tell them today, at the meeting of people who are now aware, you tell them, they said, go on with you. Don't joke. God's word is not a joke. Please understand. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man returns. Now this is a warning. Do you believe? Don't laugh, dear friends. And don't dismiss it as, well, it is theoretically quite good, but practically it will not happen. Don't kid yourself. We are using up-to-date language. Don't kid yourself. My dear friends, I thank God we still have a day of peace, a day of liberty, freedom to preach. How long will we have this freedom to speak freely? I do not know. But the writing is on the wall. We have warned this congregation, not exactly you, but we have warned our churches ever since 1950 till now is 59 years. What have we warned the people? Until they get tired and says, every time you tell us, 50 years never happened. Therefore, in mathematical language, QED, it cannot happen because it's not happened. Dear friends, may God speak to you today. In God's eyes, 50 years, but just a minute. Yeah. Please, you must learn to reckon time in God's reckoning, in God's time scale. 1,000 years, about 1 day. 1 day, 1,000 years. God dwells in eternity. We live in time. Time is only measured in the solar system on planet Earth. That's why you got to wear watches and watch clocks all the time, because we are in a system, an enclosed system, and time goes on. God lives in eternity. He doesn't reckon with us according to time. He has a timetable of his own, a schedule, a program, and that includes creation, all the years that we live on earth, the crucifixion of his son, his resurrection, the preaching of the gospel, now 2,000 years. We are now living in the last of the last days of history, and God will complete and conclude this period of man's history from creation to judgment and the return of Jesus Christ. So, I am sure most of you have been following the interesting debate in the newspapers. It's never before. It is a sign and a symptom of something that will happen. Who says so? Jesus. And disciples. And we ask him today, Lord Jesus, tell us the sign, Jesus says. Have you not read? Open to Luke chapter 17. And there it is. Firstly, he says, like the days of Noah. People thought of the silly old man building a craft. Where is he sailing to? And he says, because there's going to be rain. People laughed at him because God had not caused it to rain until the day of the great flood came. So they couldn't figure out, how can there be flood? How can there be rain? Today you tell people, The Lord is coming, and they say, you're not joking. It will be business as usual. So it will be. It will be business as usual when the Lord returns. Do you believe it will be that God will return, Jesus Christ, our Lord? Now, this is the whole point of this morning's sermon that I postpone. The Christians' election. We have time left, I'm sure, to talk about election, but I think it is quite important today because I saw the headlines in Sunday Times this morning. Now the old guard is out there. Sorry, the new lot is out. The old lot is back. There is a movement. There is a sentiment for liberalization. 50 years ago, the professor who came to our university to examine, very honorable, learned professor from London. When I went to London to take my exam, I got a piece of news. You know that professor? Ah, I said, what happened? He took an overdose and took his own life. I said, why? Oh, because he was found out to be a gay. Today, no more. Poor man, you say. If he had done it and lived today, he belongs to a group that call themselves gay pride. There's a lot of pride. People admire these people because they've elevated themselves to a position of equal and more equal than you. This is a problem today. Jesus says, you want to know when I'm coming back? This is a sign, a cardinal sign besides many other signs. We are not here to talk of signs, but this is just one that we learn today. So read your Sunday Times with a deeper and clearer understanding of what are the issues. Some time ago, our respected M.M. Lee was asked, will there come a time when gayism will be recognized in Singapore? Our very wise MM did not give the answer because it's something we do not want to anticipate in terms of time, but he knew the writing was on the wall already. What has happened in America always happens in Singapore. Do you know that? All the fashions there, drinking of Coke, starts in America. Today, everybody carries a bottle of Coke. Jeans started in America. Today, everybody must wear jeans. Now, in America today, there are gay congregations, gay churches, and ordained gay pastors in broad daylight. Did you get the message? The writing is on the wall. What happens there last 10 years, 20 years, will surely come to Singapore even faster today because the world has shrunk. By what? By technology. In the old days, you sailed to America. Wow, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Now, 8 hours, 10 hours, you are here. Everything is compressed and shortened. And what happens there will happen here. Sooner than you think, it will come. Now, this is the problem today. What must we do about it? Singapore is all the time playing catch-up. Yes, what happens there, it will come to us. I say the writing is on the wall to all of us here. Dear friends, if you're a Christian, we are living in the last of the last days. For example, you were there on that night before the fire and brimstone fell on Sodom. Let me ask you, if it were today, what would you do? You examine yourself, of course, right away. Lord, how am I living? Am I living in some secret sin? That's all that matters. Not whether your car is bigger or smaller, your apartment is upgraded, or any other point of this present-day physical and pleasurable living. These are the things that concern us when it comes to the crunch. To the day of judgment, are you ready for it? I received some papers which throw some light on the AWARE business. Schools, universities, and colleges have been receiving their sex instruction. Some of you may have attended, I don't know. And it says here, we classify all these activities into three groups: positive, neutral, negative. And under neutral, homosexuality and premarital sex, neutral. It is neither bad nor good. It depends on you, how you see it, how you anticipate, and how you understand the whole thing, and you decide for yourself, is premarital sex good or bad or indifferent? And homosexuality, whether I should be a lesbian or a gay, depends on you. It's neutral. Now, this is what is coming to color the thinking of young people. Dear friends, those with young children, I say, the opportunity is in front of you. When you go to sleep at night and you see your young ones, just 1, 2, 3 years old, do you think about them? Their future, how will they do? Send them to our Pandan kindergarten is one good thing you can do. We still have places, come along. Then in no time, they are talking language you don't understand. They may be 10, 11 years old, but their vocabulary is totally different that you cannot catch up. We are living in a very wonderful technological age. So, how can I teach my child to do things when he can teach me? So there is a breakup of parental authority there. Very, very possible. Unless God is gracious and you parents wake up and say, God has given me children that are my responsibility. How they grow up, whether they know the Lord, whether they walk in the straight and narrow path or whatever they do, I am responsible. Father and mother, please consider this. These are realities because you say, never mind, leave it to the church and Sunday school. Did you know this? I did a very quick calculation. Bring your child to Sunday school and expose him to 1 hour of Bible instruction, Sunday school. That will be submerged, diluted in 30 hours of secular study and other things. Did you realize that? Minimum, at least, is 1 to 30. What hopes do you have that your child will survive that kind of unequal exposure? Gospel, 1 unit. 30 units got to study all the things of the world. Now, young people of 12 and 13 are talking language of things I never learned until I was university. This happens all the time. It is something you cannot avoid. It's there, it's real, and it's happening. What do you do? I say, dear friends, we are very concerned in our session. How should we program our church activities that it becomes real, realistic, and practical for every father and mother and family to take note and say, I must do something for myself because I am a child of God. And God has given me a family. And God has made me responsible. Unless you are just like an animal, no responsibility. Yes. Cats and dogs breed and move away. They don't think of that family. There's no such thing as family. So this is the problem we face today. What do you do when they reach their teens? Oh, the terrible teens. When they begin to wake up to the fact of maturity, what have you got for them? These are pertinent questions. And most parents shut an eye, pretend it doesn't happen, and let them grow up. Very soon, they are already in their 20s, and your opportunity is gone. And when they graduate and begin to get the job, they all disappear from Calvary Pandan, disappear into thin air. They're not interested anymore. These are real problems we face. And exactly as in the night before that great fire and brimstone treatment and teaching and punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah, it will come. In that day, it's too late. So I say, it's good we keep the Christians' election to another day. Today, I say, you think, pray about it. I do not have the solution altogether, but we are thinking already of things we should do, we ought to do, for the sake of the coming generation and for the sake of yourself. That we are alive and alert to the things that will happen on planet Earth. What answer do you have? What solution? Now we turn to God's Word. And the passage I have chosen is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. If you have a marker pen, I advise you to mark. If you do not have a marker pen, I advise you to buy one. Yeah. If you do not have the strength to buy, come to me. Verse 9. Let's be serious, dear friends. If your Bible is untouched and every page is clean as a whistle, I say, you're missing out on something. Verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous, people who thumb their noses at God's word, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What do we have, dear friends? What do you have in your possession? You have a house. You have a car. You have all the needful amenities of life for today. I say, very good. What do you have after this life? What do you have? Here it is. Kingdom of God. Know you not that unrighteous shall not inherit that kingdom. But thank God, all who come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him and follow Him and obey Him and submit to Him and be a faithful and true Christian, you have an inheritance, the kingdom of God. Do you know that? We're not here for play-play, you know. Christianity is not play-play. It's a reality. It talks about things that really matter. In this life, whether you earn 4 figures or 5 figures a month, doesn't really matter. The more you have, the more problems, the more worries you have. But I say the most important thing you should have is a part in the inheritance that lasts forever and ever. From the time you stop your breathing on this earth, you will go right away to that kingdom God has prepared. Do you believe that? Yes or no? And if you believe it, do you actually act and order your life as though you believe it? This is the point. This is a fact. If you live like the rest, premarital sex, very good. Now, I tell you what this paper says. Positive things, pleasure, does it give pleasure? Of course, physical pleasure, fun. So this group reduced life and all its challenges to two words. Pleasure and fun, as long as you get physical pleasure, physical fun, that's good. It is positive. Wonderful, you congratulate yourself. I live a very positive life until the judgment day comes. And this word says, know you not, verse 9, unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who laugh at God's law, those who poo-poo at your sermon, they say, you old-fashioned, behind the time, old man, what do you know? We are living up to the minute. Yes, we are aware, you're not aware. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, who are these people, the premarital sex, extramarital affairs, no need to get married. Nowadays, the marriage register in Singapore is falling. More and more people say, why get married? Live together, cohabit. As you do, like cats and dogs, do it. So this is it. And they think, oh, I go to church, I hear it's quite good. I have a foot in the church, a foot in the world. The Word of God says, please don't kid yourself. It's not you who decide what will happen to you. You came into this world, did you have a part in it? No. You get out of the world, did you have a part in it? No. There is a judgment coming, do you have a part in it? Yes. The one who put you into the world, who took you out, is going to judge you. Do you know that? For the simple reason that you had no choice to come, no choice to go, no choice before the judgment. These are facts. Please wake up. Anyone here who is so far said, I give it a try. I tentatively come to church and I like to just absorb a bit more about the gospel. Here it is, dear friends, gospel. When God judges, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful thing. Today you think, well, business as usual, who cares? Who cares about God? Here it is. It is a fearful thing. When God sits in judgment, you have nowhere to go. You've got to be there. Yes. The great white throne will put you there. Against your wish, as against your wish you were born, against your wish you were taken out, against your wish you've got to stand there and be judged by the fearful thing to stand there and face the judgment of a holy God. But he says, God so loved the world. He so loved you. He gave his only begotten Son to come and take your place. Suffer your death, take away your sin, and rise from the dead to give you the hope. Because I believe in Jesus, I am crucified with him. Because I believe in Jesus, I rise with him. This is a promise of God's word. You say, how can I believe? You can believe simply because God raised Jesus from the dead. If Jesus died for you and got buried and rotted, I say, close down Calvary Pandan right now. Go home. But praise the Lord, our Lord Jesus says, I am alive forevermore. I am Alpha and Omega. I began, I end. You are in between. You are one of those I put into the planet Earth. And one day you got to get out, but then there is judgment. Who is going to take your judgment? Dear friends, consider this. Christianity is about God's Son taking my judgment on the cross, that I, through him, may receive his free gift. Where is the free gift? The kingdom of God, verse 9. All these unrighteous people, sinners, false Christians, they think Christianity is just play. Yes. Here it is. They are deceived. They become fornicators. Sex at demand. Do it as you wish. Young people, we want to go on vacation. Cost effective, go together, live together. You're not married. Does it matter? Today there is a fashion. We don't need to. Premarital sex is perfectly all right. What does the Bible say? Please understand. Be not deceived. Don't worry. Don't think what the people do is right And because more people do it, it must be right. This kind of deception is very, very deceptive. You know what people now write? You VPP people, we got 23 churches, all anti-VPP. You got how many pro-VPP? 6. 23 versus 6. Carried, the vote is. VPP is wrong, we are right. That is the thinking today, how sad it is. How sad it is. Right in the church, by theologians. Dear friends, please read God's word. It says, not because you have a majority, by vote, say everybody says, no need to get married, it's good enough. What we want is pleasure and fun. And this is what where people go around teaching. And who get it? Your son and daughter in the university will get it. And everybody says, wonderful, vote, all those in favor, vote, is right, is the best, carry on. But God's word. Do you believe in God's word, dear friends? Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, they want to believe in a religion that worships idols, bows to images, kisses the toe of St. Peter, and call on the name of dead saints. Idols, idolaters. God's word says no. God is without form and shape. You cannot make God into stone and or wood and precious stones and metals and then bow down to them? No, God doesn't accept those things. No matter what you say about it, no matter how you explain it, God says, it is abominable. Effeminate, adulterous, people who do what they like with other people's wives. And they say, why? It's positive. What? It says here, as long as there's pleasure. Is there pleasure? Yes. Is it fun? Absolutely fun. Take another person's wife. And nobody knows. So they say there's an 11th commandment. Thou shalt not be found out. So, keep that commandment. You're not found out, you're okay. My friends, know you not the unrighteous. You know, talking today of fun and games. You play today, you forget tomorrow. But these are things that concern your eternal destiny. What will happen the moment you will breathe your last, you are right there under judgment. If you have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, repentance means repentance in your life, in the way you live and conduct your thinking and conduct your business, there must be a change and say, from now, Christ Jesus lives in me. I live a different life. I follow his commandments. No more the old way of thinking and no more the new things that are going to come in to Singapore. Shortly, it will be here. How long, I do not know. But please don't think that 50 years is a long time. I talk of 50 years that happened when we taught Sunday school. It's already past 50 years. Is it long? I look back, it's like yesterday. So please do not let this time sense carry you away and say, well, you tell me every time Jesus is coming now, 50 years, no come. So he cannot come. Therefore, no second coming. All right. The last part of verse 9. Not abusers of themselves with mankind. Some people think that this alternate lifestyle is so up to date. Right? Wrong, dear friends. It happened from the dawn of history in Sodom and Gomorrah. Even before then, it was already a practice among those perverts. And they do it. Do they know it's wrong? Of course they know it's wrong. But they persuade themselves under the influence of Satan. And people today do the same thing. What happened 3,000, 4,000 years ago is happening today. And it will come to Singapore. Mardi Gras will come and people will parade the streets in their funny costumes. And today the fashion is less clothing the better. I say a word to all our dear young ladies, very loving and caring word. Please learn to be modest and glorify the Lord in the way you dress. Don't say, can't be helped, I go to the shops, all the clothes are like that. I want to get married, I go to the tailor, they should make it like that. I say, you mean she is short of cloth? So those who come to register to get married in this church are told with pictures, look, this is people getting married in this decade, fully sleeved, fully covered. Now there is a fashion, they want to show their breasts to everybody. Amazing! Who? Young people? Old people also love to do it. And God says, don't kid yourself. These things are not glorifying to God. Are you angry with me? My dear friends, please think how I can glorify God and not how I can be attractive to the males. There's something else. If you're attracted by that kind of thing, I say, God, help you. Let us learn in this church that we are attracted to people who are godly, God-fearing, walking in the path of righteousness, in the straight and narrow. That is difficult, but not impossible. So Jesus says, broad is the way, and wide is the gate, and many are there who flock in thereat. And they all help each other. Wonderful! And they keep on pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. The end is what? Destruction. Please, wake up! The story of Sodom and Gomorrah has a very pertinent lesson to all of us. Now read on, we will close this now. Verse 10, not thieves, covetous, drunkards. You have heard many times spoken, written in this church. Do not fall into the habit of drinking. And how does a habit of drinking start? By one first glass, that's all. You say, never mind, one. And your friend says, that's good, it tastes good, bite. Right, tiger is good. Second one. Then it becomes a habit. And the habit becomes a lifestyle. And the lifestyle takes you right into hell. Drunkards, revilers, people who live clubbing, jesting, partying, enjoying life. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Was very fashionable song in my time. Today we don't hear it because it is not in the rock rhythm. Now we have rock songs, different. But the idea is the same. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. I said, dear friends, wake up, it's later than you think. You think you're going to have your life for another 50 years and just enjoy yourself all the time? You may not know even what's going to happen tomorrow. But what is your life? It is like a vapor, appears for a little time and disappears. And if you do not think and prepare for that ultimate inevitable event now, you may never have the chance to do it again. And all these that are mentioned shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is all that matters. Will you inherit the kingdom of God? Not the kingdom of Singapore, very wonderful place. Even Americans come here and say that we like it so much, we don't go back. All the people now in the Middle East flock to Singapore, to Sentosa. How many dollars a square foot? $5,000 a square foot? Nothing, no problem, we pay. And they all come to Sentosa. Have you got a place in Sentosa? No? How sad. Dear friends, but I ask you seriously, do you have a place in the holy kingdom of everlasting life of God? Wonderful place. Do you have a place there? Eternal? And you cannot buy a place there. You are given free of charge. Only by grace through faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may thou speak to thy people that all our eyes be open to see the reality of thy everlasting kingdom and the reality of the salvation of God through Jesus Christ our Lord and the reality of the punishment of hell. O Lord our God, save your people. May your word be concealed and hidden and be loved and practiced in our lives, preparing for the great day of the kingdom of God coming when our King returns. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.